What God is doing in the lives of others. We see you down there, Dixie sister. She's waving to you. See you, Dixie? All right, well, we're going to start with Andre this morning. And Andre gave his life to Christ a couple weeks ago. And he's able to be with us today to get his baptism. Sit down right there, Andre. And Andre tells me the story of 7 months that he is now addiction free. Come on, church. Addiction free. And he threw his first baptismal out to the Lord like a Hail Mary, was his exact words. But this Hail Mary is going to be for good. Andre, your family's here to help you. We're here to walk with you. And we're excited to see the outward display of what's happening on the inside of you. you ready to make this declaration today?
Yes.
All right. Cover your nose and your mouth. There you go. I'm going to hang on. You hang on to my arm. Andre, have you asked Jesus into your heart to be personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then today, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Congratulations, young man. You walk out that way. And now we have Tim Fast. Tim, I can't express how proud I am of what you've done for your family. You became the man that God needed you to be for your family in the time when it needed it the most. I'm proud of you. You know, along our lives, sometimes we lose our way. But sometimes we don't find our way back. And you did. And I'm proud of you. Your church is proud of you, in case no one's told you. I love you. Tim, have you asked Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right. And cover your mouth and your nose. Hang on to my arm in case I can't get you back up. In case we push you down a little longer. I baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. All right, this is Dixie Lee Lane. And Dixie, I'm going to meet you halfway if you don't mind. All right, you come on in. Even if you need to sit down and scooch your way down those stairs, I'm okay with that too. I want you to be safe. Can you get in there? You want to do it? All right, that's good. You back your way down. We're good with that. There you go. So Dixie gave her life to Christ as well. She wants that firm surface, boys. There you go. We got you. Come on in. The water's fine. Feels good, don't it? You wonder why people want to get baptized. Maybe some of you should make the commitment. It's like a warm bath up here. If you don't see me come back, you know we're celebrating up here in the baptismal. Dixie gave her life to Christ. She's been raised in the church long ago, but as Tim's story, she needed just a little bit of a recommitment to her life to really say this time. Her sister described it as hypocritical living. You turn on over, you're going to come this way. Yeah, you got it. And no more hypocritical living.
No.
We're dedicated to Jesus the way
that's
we are, right?
Amen for
amen.
That.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Once and for all. You sit yourself down there. Good girl. Ooh, it's nice, isn't it? There you go. All right, Dixie, I'm going to ask you a very important question. Have you given your life? Oh, look at you.
Yes.
Yes, oh, yes. You have. Well, today we're going to baptize you. Are you ready to go down one way and come up the next? Proof that the Holy Spirit is doing a work on the inside of Dixie. Grab my arm now. Got it? Okay. Yeah, here. Grab my arm. Can you grab my arm? Right here. Okay. All right. Today, Dixie, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All we got, 'cause you're worthy.
We give you all the praise.
Here I can. You hear? But just come up and get yours. We're going to take it together as a church. We praise you because the chains are gone. We praise you and we can't stop singing. You're great and you do miracles. So we dance, we dance, we dance in victory. We praise you because the chains are gone. We praise you and we can't stop singing. You're great and you do miracles. So we dance, we dance, we dance.
Good to see you. Good to see you guys.
We dance in victory. We dance in victory. Can you hear the sound of freedom breaking out? We raise our voices loud here right now, can you hear the sound of freedom breaking out? We raise our voices loud here right now, can you hear the sound of freedom breaking out? We raise our voices loud here right now, can you hear the sound of freedom breaking out? We raise our voices loud here right now,
thank you, Jesus.
It's time for us today as a body of believers to partake of something so special. Mind you, it's a place where believers come, people who have accepted Christ as their Savior, who say, we're coming to have communion or to commune with God. As I began to think about that explanation of what it was, I looked it up and it says that it's an exchange of intimate feelings between people, either emotionally or on a spiritual level. Do you know that you are communing today with the Most High God? Come on. Do you know that in that communion with Him, just like in a marriage or the communion of friends that share everything with each other, that you can share who you really are with God? And then in spite of what you share with Him, the darkest, deepest secret, the most ugliest thing that you've ever done, that you've ever thought, that you've ever said, He forgives. Come on. Church, I don't think you heard me. I think He knows you. He knows you on a level unlike anyone else. And when we do this today, we're exchanging this prayer and this thankfulness, just like we've been doing at 21 Days of Prayer. We're on day 15 today. For those of you that have decided to join with us, by the way, it's not too late to join. You can join us starting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, all through the week, on Saturday, and we will finish. But there's communion happening. We're sitting at the feet of Jesus. God sent His Son for you and I. That when you and I look at ourselves in this place, it says in the Bible in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, that you, believers, are to judge yourself so that you're not judged when He comes. That you would judge your heart and your affections and your motives right here and right now. And I want to remind you that no matter what you find when you judge yourself, He already knows. He already knows. But when you confess and believe in Him, it's all gone. It's all erased. So take your communion today, and we're going to do it exactly the way Jesus told the disciples in the 11th chapter of Corinthians. It says, take this bread and give thanks. Lift it up and say, thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Now, I said that He prayed, gave thanks, and He broke it. I want you to break it and realize Thank you, cleaning ladies, who are going to pick up all those crumbs. Jesus was broke for you. He was broke on the cross that he would take all of our transgressions, that by his stripes you and I would be healed. Now, Father, we thank you for what you did on Calvary. And today we remember, and God, we remember that you are a God that washes our sin away. You don't just cover them with the blood, but you wash them away. And we remember that today as we eat. When you drink this cup, you're remembering me until I come. You're remembering Jesus' death and resurrection until he comes. Father, we lift this up to you. And God, we thank you that you know us in the most intimate place. And God, that we can feel free to share and exchange our intimate feelings with you, God, to reveal truly who we are. Father, we give you that dark place today. We surrender it to you. Father, for you already see and know who we are, yet you chose when we didn't deserve it to give your life anyways. God, we're so thankful. And we remember the price that you paid for us. We accept it freely. And Father, we can't wait till you come. In Jesus' name.
Better than you. on, let's just travel across this room this morning. Come on, there's nothing better.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you.
There's nothing.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing,
no,
better than you. Oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Oh, there's nothing.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Come on this morning. I want you to remember, if you are saved in the house, I want you to remember a time that you were in that grave. I want you to remember a time that you were broken. And the Lord transformed that. And He gave you beauty for ashes. That's what His word says. He gave you dancing for mourning. And if you're not saved in the house, don't worry. There'll be a spot for you to be saved today. But I think today we need to give the Lord a little gratitude, a little thankfulness. That there is nothing better than Him. Nothing can fulfill me like the Lord can fulfill me. Not a single person on this earth. While I'm thankful for my family and my husband and my children, they don't fulfill me the way Jesus fulfills me. Because you see, they didn't die on a cross for me. They didn't go and pay the price, so my sins are fully forgiven. There is one who did. Today, let's offer some gratitude. Let's sing this chorus. Every hand raised in the building is a sign of surrender.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Oh, there's nothing.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Jesus. Jesus.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt this heart of stone. Cause Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Before the throne, I stand in him complete. Jesus died, my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat that Jesus paid it all to him. Oh, sin had left a crimson stain. It white as snow, and Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Oh, sin had left a stain.
Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
He washed it white as snow.
Oh, pray.
What a mighty God we serve, amen? He's paid that debt on that cross. We have something to rejoice over, do we not? Hallelujah. What a great day it's going to be. Thank you for being a part of our service this morning. We want to take the time right now to welcome our first-time guests. If you're a first-time guest, we want to say thank you for being a part of this service. We believe God's going to touch you in a significant way. I want to bring something to your attention. We have a QR code in the pews that helps you understand a little more about our church, what we're doing, events we've got going on. We'd love to stay connected with you. Now, if you're in the risers, there may not be a QR code in front of you, but you can simply point your phone at the QR code behind the screen right now. And it's just going to help us to stay connected with you and share what God's doing with us and through us. And as we do it together, we believe God's going to do great things. So thank you for being a part of our service today. We believe God's got great things in store. Amen? Well, listen, we are in day 15 of our 21 days of prayer. It's hard to believe we're in the last week of this. And, you know, we have ushers right now that have prayer. I'm sorry, we have our prayer teams that have cards, our prayer cards as well as our praise cards. And we want to pray with you. So every night we have prayer cards down here that we're taking, we're praying over, and we're seeing breakthroughs. We're seeing blessings. We're seeing salvations take place. We're hearing about people getting miracles, signs and wonders take place. So we don't want to be not have you not included. So if you need a prayer request that we as a church, as our staff can pray over, we want you to take one of these prayer cards, and we want to pray with you because we believe God's going to do great things over the next six more days. Amen? We also have these altar team people also have praise cards. You know, there's a story back in Luke 17 where Jesus healed 10 lepers. But think about this. Only one of those 10 came back to give God praise. We want to hear a praise report from time to time as well so we can give God praise for what he's been doing. So if you wouldn't mind, if you've got a testimony you would like to share, you'll encourage us. You'll encourage Pastor Nicole, Pastor Randy, Pastor Phyllis, all of our staff, if you would take the time to share a praise report as well. Now, you can submit the prayer cards or praise cards in the offering buckets or take them out to the Welcome Center after service, and we will begin to unite our faith with yours and believe God for great things. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, listen, I have the privilege of sharing some exciting news with you. I just got back from the Philippines, as many of you probably know, but that's not the exciting news I'm going to share right now. I'm going to talk to you about something that Pastor Dosig shared with me more than once on many occasions. And this is something that's been very much a deep passion for Pastor Phyllis, Pastor Randy, Pastor Cole, and leadership on the staff. And Pastor said, Eric, he told me more than once, Eric, I want to put a focus on retiring the debt of this facility. So we've been doing that. Church, we try to be the best stewards of every dime, every penny that comes in this ministry. And we are on the precipice right now. Think about this. I'm going to share a number with you. About in 2006, we took out a loan for about $4.4 million on this brand new facility, 65,000 square feet. Today, as of today, we owe $425,000. Hallelujah! That's God. And it's not only God, it's also you, because we could not do this without you. So I want you to give yourself a round of applause, because again, it's your sowing that's helping us accomplish this goal. Amen? So what we felt led as a staff, as leadership, as we begin to pray over this, as Pastor Randy, Pastor Cole, Pastor Phyllis, we've been praying about this, and we had a prophet of our church a few years ago come in and said something to us that really resonated with our spirits. And this is Prophet Tim Bagwell. Many of you know Tim Bagwell. He's been to our church, I think, for almost 40 consecutive years. He said, when it came specifically to this debt, he said, the provision is in the house. It's not outside the house. It's not in the Philippines. It's not in Brazil. It's not in Nigeria. It is in the house. So we felt like as leadership that it would be remiss if we didn't bring this to your attention. Because I believe together, if one could put 1,000 foot, two put 10,000 foot, I believe as we use our faith together to retire the debt of this building, I believe that would please God and would also honor Pastor Dosig, Pastor Phyllis, Pastor Randy, Pastor Cole. Because you know what? I believe it this way. If we take care of God's house, I believe God's going to take care of your house. Amen? So what we want you to do, we want you to be thinking about this now. I shared about us being stewards of God's finances. Now, our loan is due in 2032. We're in 2025 right now. But we're looking to retire this loan, pay off every penny we took out, the $4.4 million. We're looking to pay it off in a pretty aggressive manner. We're looking to pay this off on or before June 29th of 2025. So that's right around the corner. That's 23 weeks away, church, 23 weeks away. But we say that because we've heard so many great testimonies of people's breakthroughs taking place during 21 days of prayer that we believe our faith is united with yours, that we can do this. Do you believe we can do this? I believe we can as well. And I want to say this to you that, you know, paying this thing off 7 years ahead of time, you know, the number seven is the number of completion in the Bible. Think about that. I don't think that has no, I believe that has significance in what we're doing right now. So listen, I believe as we put our faith together with God, all things are possible. Amen. So what we're going to do right now, we have pledge cards. And you might say, Eric, why were you doing pledge cards? What's going on here? The pledge cards are being done for this reason. Now, we want you to pray. Pastor Cole has been asking you to pray for the last few weeks about what your part might be. And again, for some of you, it may not be anything. You know, we understand. Now, listen, if you're a first-time guest, this isn't for you. We're asking people who've been a part of this ministry for many, many years to participate in this. This is also for those watching us on live stream right now that maybe they're shut in right now. They can't be here. Maybe they moved away. But listen, if you want to be a part in helping us to retire our debt, we want you to take a pledge card. And the reason why we need a pledge card filled out, and this is not something we're going to call you and beg you for money. We're not doing that. We're going to ask you to pray. And what we'd like for you to do is, as a family, you pray together, or as an individual, you pray. And we're going to believe God that God's going to give you a number. Now, he might give you a number that you want to give a one-time gift. He might give you a number that you pay something maybe quarterly, or maybe it's on a monthly basis. You know what? Whatever God tells you to do, the Bible says you do it, and guess what? He's going to bring it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen? So we want you to pray. So our ushers are going to pass out these pledge cards. And if you would, take some time to pray about it. Again, the reason why we're sharing these pledge cards with you right now is because we have to notify our lender at least 30 days ahead of time before we pay off a bond. So us knowing what you're thinking about, what you're agreeing with, you're using your faith for to sow till we can pay this off, this will help us understand with our lender that we can pay this bill off on or before June 29th of 2025. I know it's aggressive, but again, as I said, we know with God, all things are possible to him who only believes. There's a reason why our name is Only Believe. That was what God gave Pastor Dosik many, many years ago. Now, let me say this as well. If more than $425,000 comes in, which I believe it will, here's what we're going to do. I got another breaking news story for you right now. We want to take the monies in excess, if more comes in than the $425,000. We're going to be renovating a facility in our youth facility, and we're going to be making a fellowship hall for our church. A fellowship hall that we can do activities, we can do weddings, we can do rehearsals, we can do bridal showers, we can do lots of things. A church, our facility, it's kind of odd that you don't have a fellowship hall. And as leadership, Pastor Nicole, Pastor Randy, Pastor Phyllis have been praying over this. We really believe that's our next step. So if more money's come in to retire the debt, we want your blessing to apply those monies to pay to actually put a fellowship hall in our beautiful facility. Is that okay, everybody? All right, amen. So what we're going to do, again, we're going to ask you, pray, because we're a church that prays. We want you to pray, and if God gives you a number, if you would be so kind to let us know what that number is, we're not divulging it to anybody else. It's just helping us to let our bond issuer know when we can retire this debt. And if you would, you can drop this in the offering bucket, or you can take it out to the Welcome Center. We're going to ask you, if you'd be so kind, could you do this in about 3 or 4 weeks' time? So we're in the last week of prayer right now. Maybe God will give you a number tonight. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's Friday. Or maybe he'll give you a number February the 7th. I don't know the date that God might speak to you. But if you would, please take these pledge cards, put it into the offering bucket in one of our services, and or take it out to the Welcome Center. And on behalf of Pastor Nicole, Pastor Randy, Pastor Phyllis, we want to say thank you in advance, because without you, we could not do this. And it's going to be a great attribute to what God asked Pastor Joseph to do almost 20 years ago to build this facility, because we believe every seat in this house is going to be full in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, thank you so much for your time for that. We're going to now transition into our tithes and offerings. So if you need a tithe and offering envelope, again, you can ask one of these ushers to assist you with that, or you can simply reach in front of you, and or you can just simply press, you can just use your phone to tap into the QR code behind me and give electronically. That's the way I give. It happens in about 10 seconds. It's really a great way to give electronically. But again, we want to say thank you for your tithes and offerings as well. We do have a scripture verse that I do want to share with you. It's Matthew 6:24. Matthew 6:24, and it says this: No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That's again Matthew 6:24. I did a little quick search on that. The word money or mammon that is spoken about in King James Version, the word mammon is a Syriac word that refers to wealth, riches, or possessions. Jesus uses it to describe how material wealth can be a burdensome ruler that tempts people to trust in it for security and happiness. We all know we're not supposed to put our trust in money, are we? No. We put our trust in who? God, right? And as we're faithful to bring tithes and offerings into God's house, God promises He's going to open the windows of heaven upon our lives and pour out blessings upon us. So, church, I want to encourage you, be careful. It's a ploy the devil uses. You know, the devil always takes God's word and taints it. He transitions it. He tries to twist it around to confuse the sheep. But I know we're smart enough in this church to understand that's not what we're supposed to do. Put your trust in God. Sow your tithes and offerings as God puts it on your heart, and God is going to bring a harvest into your life. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray over our tithes and offerings right now. Father, I just thank you, God, for every person under the sound of my voice that is hearing this wonderful opportunity you're giving us to retire the debt of our facility, God. Father, I thank you, God, for you speaking to their hearts by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you, God, as people are being touched and are being moved to give, I thank you, God, that we will retire our debt on or before June 29th of 2025. And God, I thank you for the people that are giving their tithes and offerings today, giving into missions as well. God, we just thank you for blessing the gift and the giver. I ask you to give it back to Him, press down, shaking together, running over in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's bring our tithes and offerings unto the Lord.
Let's do the spiritual miracle of salvation. You need a new heart. You need Jesus to come in. You need Him to wash your sins away. You need Him to give you a spiritual joy of the Lord. You need Him to put a new praise in your heart. You need and you want to be saved. Will touch you in the very spot of need. And when He touches you, I want you to act.
It is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
Apan sa Diyos ang tanang posible gayon.
Still voice to silence all my fears. Even the worst.
Now we have an enemy, and that enemy is that little devil. And he is always trying to build a wall between you and your promises. But again, with God, all things are possible.
By your stripes, I am healed. With the one touch, I am made whole. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. In this storm, you have peace, and your
Christian, God has given you many promises. But maybe some of you have not received those promises. Maybe some of those promises seem as high as that Jericho wall. Maybe some of those promises seem as thick as that Jericho wall. But He has given you a promise. And if you just believe and lay hold of that promise by faith, it will be yours.
Be done.
light. See, maybe you've walked around your pain and your doubt. You've done what you can do. You've prayed. You've asked God to help you. You've done what you could do. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you only believe, what seems impossible with man will be possible with God. He is here to give you your miracle tonight. Come on, do you believe that tonight? Set free tonight. You have been delivered from your problem tonight. It is already yours. He's already given it to you. Jesus already died on the cross. Hallelujah. His stripes have already been taken for you and I. We have been healed.
In this storm, you are peace, and your love won't let me go. You have spoken, and I know that it is so.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Well, Brother Eric, that was the wettest crusade I've ever been in. How about you?
It was the wettest crusade I've ever been a part of. I've been doing this for 30 years, church. I have never had a crusade that rained, and not just sprinkles. Downpour.
You saw it.
You heard the verbiage, you know, cats and dogs. It was like elephants, giraffes flying from the sky. We were out there 3 minutes, and we were just soaking wet. And when we first pulled up on Wednesday night, of course, we're praying, God, thank you for moving the rain. Pray. We're doing all this. And when we got out there, was about 1,200, 1,300 people sitting out there in a downpour in wheelchairs and crutches and canes.
They didn't leave.
We're like, team, we got it. We're preaching tonight. We're not leaving here. They're here believing God for great things to happen.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we saw great miracles happen. Pastor Randy's, we know on opening night, God did great things. Lots of people got saved. And then we're praying again for the next day and praying, God, move the rain. And it actually rained harder on Thursday night than it did Wednesday night. The crowd was a little bit bigger. We were mesmerized. I actually thought we were going to pull up the crusade site because it was raining so hard, there'd be nobody there.
Yeah.
And I thought we were just going to have to cancel it. And there was more people there on Thursday night than there was Wednesday night.
Crazy.
So I was like, okay, team, let's get ready. We're going to take a shower and preach the gospel at the same time.
Yeah.
So we did, and again, saw so many great miracles. Now, thankfully, the Lord helped us to find a facility that was the largest facility we could get our hands on short notice.
In Iligan City, yeah.
And we took the services from the outside on the inside on Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. We also had our children's crusade in that facility, did our day sessions with about 500-plus pastors and leaders as well.
Yeah.
Again, it was the rainiest. It was the most wet I've ever been in a crusade, and I've been doing this for a long, long time. It's vexing when you see rain coming down because you know it's the hinderings of people from coming to a crusade that you know that will come to receive Christ, that will get miracles.
Right.
But I believe that, you know what? You know, we didn't give up and they didn't give up. And because we didn't, I have the good news. We saw 10,533 people come to Christ in Iligan City because we didn't give up.
Amen.
And we saw so many great miracles, Pastor Randy.
That the guy that's dancing, the old guy that you saw in the video doing this, he had been deaf for 70 years. 7-0.
Both ears.
Both ears, and heard for the very first time. That was, what a miracle. That was my favorite miracle out of all of them. There were lots.
Yeah, there was.
But that was my favorite. What did you?
Yeah, I remember it was a woman. She was actually age 90. And she was, you saw her in that video. She was in a wheelchair. She had broken her back. She had fallen. She actually broke her back. She was not able to walk. She could not stand. She had no strength in her legs. And after prayer that night, she stood out of that wheelchair and walked to the platform to give God praise for what he did.
Yes.
Powerful miracle. I also saw a woman on Thursday night during that torrential rainstorm that had a goiter the size of a grapefruit on her throat. I mean, it was easy for me to see. As the prayer of faith went forward, I actually watched that goiter instantly disappear off that person's throat. It was powerful. We had a man also that had a stroke, and he wasn't able to walk or talk for 6 years.
Yeah.
That night,
He walked for the first time and spoke his first words and gave God praise for what God did.
Amen.
So, church, yeah. We always want to say thank you for allowing us to go.
Yes.
It's a long, aggressive trip to get there, but you know what? We lifted Jesus up. The Bible says we lift him up. He draws all men and women unto him. So we want to say thank you for your prayers and your support. We felt your prayers.
Yes.
And we're looking forward to a great 2025, Pastor
Amen.
Randy.
Thank you, Brother Eric. Appreciate it. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, before I begin here, boy, time is flying this morning. We want to do one other thing. Jared Kaiser, where are you at? If you're here, come on out here real quick and come on up on the stage and wherever you bring your wife too, please. We want to let everybody know that you are married, you know, to a wonderful wife there. Come on up here. Brother Tim, why don't you come up? Pastor Phyllis, why don't you come up here too? Yeah, so we don't want you sleeping on the front row down there. Come on up here. Nicole. Well, I got some news to share. Or I guess we all have some news to share. And I guess we're going to share it big time, aren't we, here today?
Yeah.
In the history of Only Believe Ministries Christian Center in the big metropolitan city of Botkins, Ohio, we have had 5 children's pastors since 1982. That's what, 43 years or something like that? Only 5 children's pastors. That's it. That is more than a miracle. A children's pastor's life in a church is between 2 and 3 years, and that's it. And if you think that's crazy, a youth pastor's lifespan in a church is 6 months. 6 months. How long have you been a youth pastor?
11 years.
11 years. So unbelievable. So we have had 5 children's pastors. Yes, amen. And I being the longest, 18 years. That's why I'm going bald, because of your kids, as I always say. How do you look so far? He looks pretty good so far. So we are going to be transitioning, and you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but the not the lifeblood, but actually the growth engine of the church is right here. It's the children's church. That's the growth engine of every church. There are adults who have left other churches. They've loved their senior pastors, but they've not had anything for the children, and they've wound up here because we have something for the kids other than donuts and crayons. You understand? We teach your children, because yes, they are the future, and they have to be taught the Word of God. They have to be taught the 6 basic doctrines. They need to be taught the Word of God, or they're not going to survive in these last days, as you already see out there. So with that being said, we're moving out the old, which is me, and we're bringing in something fresh, something new, a new wineskin, something that's going to make me look like a little pony that's done nothing in this church, and that is Pastor Jared Kaiser. Hallelujah. Amen. We've prayed a long time about this, and so has he. He has kind of been born and raised in this church. You've been here. Where's your microphone, baby? Thank you. How long have you been attending here, Brother Jared?
Since I was 5 years old.
At 5 years old. And how old are you now?
A little past 29.
Little past 29?
I'm 41 years old.
And you already have a children's church in your home, right?
I have a mobile children's ministry that follows me everywhere I go.
You have how many children?
7.
You have 7 boys?
Yep, all boys.
I think all the first 7 of these are yours,
yep,
right?
That's awesome. 20 down to age 2.
Yeah. So you want to say something a little bit here before we pray for you?
Well, I mean, obviously this is a great honor and a privilege. I'm extremely humbled. I got a call to ministry from the Lord late in my teenage years, and spent over 2 decades pursuing that. But you know what? I told God I wanted to make the most impact possible for his kingdom. And so, being the unwise person I was, I ran from children's ministry. I thought it was going to be youth ministry.
Oh.
You know, I had Pastor Kylan, you know, mentoring me, and I just really thought that's where it was at. And then a few years into it, like, I told her, kind of prophesied and did myself in. I'm like, you know what, you'd make a better children's pastor's wife than a youth pastor's wife.
Wow.
And of course, I was wrong. And she was right. That's the way it kind of typically goes.
Yeah.
But you know what? I realized how unwise I actually was about that. You know, Jesus tells us to let the little children come to him.
Yeah.
And he said we have to be like them to enter into his kingdom.
Amen.
And, you know, Barnard Research Group shows that person's worldview is actually formed between 15 and 18 months.
Wow.
Months, not years, wow. Not 15 to 18 years old. Man. Between 15 and 18 months is where it starts.
Wow.
And by the time they're the age of 13 years old, it is completely formed with little chance of it ever changing. Mm. That is how they see the world. That is what their belief system is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have that window of time.
Wow.
And
yeah.
So I've learned and I've gotten wisdom and I know where the greatest kingdom impact can possibly take place. And that is in our children's church.
Come on.
You
Amen.
Know, we have church. I'm not here to babysit.
That's right.
All right. I've did that a few times in my life. I'm not doing it no more. I'm here to see God's vision
yes.
and his kingdom grow.
Amen.
And to
yeah.
see, now, we've had a great foundation laid. Obviously, 18 years of yeah. you laying a great Amen. Foundation and the move of God is happening. And yeah. we're just here to try to power it up and
That's
carry
right.
it on.
Amen.
So, hey, if you're looking to make the greatest kingdom impact possible, Come see me. We're in aggressive expansion right now of our dream team.
This is awesome. So. Amen.
He's already starting to fish.
Wait a minute now. There's youth too. No. Hallelujah. Awesome. Well, we are so excited about what God is getting ready to do. So if you guys would just stretch forth your hands here, we're going to pray. Pastors, come on around here and we're going to pray. Father, oh God, I come before you today. I thank you, Father, for what you've done for me, God, kind of throwing me in there, Lord, 18 years ago. And God, what you had for me, I thank you for it. And what you did for me, I thank you for it, Lord God.
Lord.
I'm not done. Kids are still my life and my passion. But God, I thank you, Father, that we know that the baton is being passed.
Yes.
It's your timing, Father. And God, I thank you that he is the man for the job
yes.
for this hour, Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
God, I thank you for the anointing, Lord God, that it is a double portion
yes.
in the name of Jesus on Jared's life, Lord God. God, I thank you for the vision, Lord God, that's going to come forth from him and the words that are
yes.
coming out of his mouth that are anointed for these children in these last days. Lord God, we pray for him. We thank you
yes.
for it, Lord God. And we thank you for what you're getting ready to do
yes.
in his life, in this church, in this children's church as well. We give you
yes.
praise for it all
yes.
in Jesus' name.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Nicole, go ahead.
Hang on.
Jesus.
We can't pray without blessing Linda's
amen.
Position because it's a tough one to hold.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, right now in the name of Jesus,
Hallelujah.
We pray, Father, strength.
Yes.
Strengthen her, Father, as she supports the call upon his life.
Hallelujah.
Father, as she wields the family, Father, at home, Father, in taking care
Hallelujah.
Of what needs
Hallelujah.
To be done. God, that when he is weak, Father, she would rise to the occasion to
yes.
spur him on.
Yes.
Father, that she would direct him, Father, in the way of the Lord, in the way he would go. That, Father, together he would find strength in her, Father, in her position as his spouse.
Mm.
Father, that spirit of unity that you've joined, Father, let no man put asunder.
Yes.
And Father, I thank you, Lord, that she is the one who can push him to his greatest calling.
Mm.
Father, is his greatest support. Father, I thank you that he would listen.
Hallelujah.
Father, to the Holy Spirit that
Hallelujah.
Sometimes is revealed through our spouse and
mm-hmm.
her words.
That's right.
Father, I thank you that she would be sure-footed. Father, stayed on you. Father, the Proverb 31 woman. Father, in all ways, God, to her family and to her husband, support her, God, as they go and they set this furrow in a field. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Love you, bud.
Love you too, man.
As of February 10th, he's going to be on staff, so welcome him when you can. Thank you, guys. You guys ready? Are you good?
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Love you guys. We'll see you soon, okay? Head back to class, especially you, Quinn. Get out of here, you filthy animal. I'll be back to see you. All right. Praise the Lord. Are you still doing okay this morning, guys? Amen. Hallelujah. This is church. This is real church right here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Boy, time is flying. So you know what? We're gonna just give a little bit of time here today. Since we are on our 21 days of prayer, we're on day 15. I thought it would be nice just to throw out this morning some nuggets about prayer. Sometimes as we continue to pray, as we continue to hear, as we continue to fast, we get a little tired. And so I just want to just spur you on here this morning and just talk to you just a little bit about the power of prayer. Now, prayer is probably the most talked about in churches all across America and the world, but it's probably the most not done. We talk about it, but we don't do it. Father, I thank you for this food. Bless it to our bodies in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's about all we get. God is good. God is great. Whatever all that stuff is. That's not prayer. the type of prayer that God wants us to have. So why don't we do it? No, it's not quite lazy. It's we don't get the results. We don't get the results that we want, so we stop doing it. It's no different than you talking to a girl and she keeps turning you down, turning you down, turning you down. Well, most guys would get the hint. I guess I'm done. That ain't for me. She don't want me other than Pastor Tim up here. You know, I don't know how many times he got flailed, man, from Bethany. Nope, nope, nope. But he was too stupid to give up. And finally, I don't know what happened to her. If the Lord touched her and said, I'll do something special for you if you'll take him off my hands. I don't know. But, you know, hallelujah. She said yes, finally. But that's just a rare case, okay? Rare cases that happen. So when we don't get answers, we stop doing it. And that's what happens with us concerning prayer. But obviously, that's not what God wants for us. Now, you look at this too. When a vehicle is made, depending on the model, it has specific details that only that vehicle has when you buy it. For BMW, for example, they have X1, X2, X3, X5s, X7s, X8s, MXs. They have all kinds of models for the BMW. But here's the thing. That model that you have, you only get certain things on that model that you buy. That's the car. That's it. But here's the deal. God created us, and in the creation, there are lots of different types of features that you and I have. Like, for instance, in the Philippines, I wonder why they kept staring at me. Because they love the blonde hair and the blue eyes and the pointy nose. That's all they talk about. Oh, my gosh, your nose. I'm like, what's wrong with my nose? Am I got a booger or something on it? What's going on? No, it's pointy. It's beautiful. I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm serious. That's what they kept saying. Oh, your eyes are so blue. I'm like, okay, all right. Well, that's what they loved about me. I loved about their big, thick, black hair. I love that about them. You know, we all want what we can't have, you know? It's ridiculous. Yeah, amen. The big, thick, black hair. I mean, it was amazing. All right, so we all have different types of features as humans. But here's the deal. We're all made just a little different. But in the making of God, of God creating us, just like the car is designed ultimately to do what? No matter how many features are on it, no matter what it has, the heated seats, the air conditioning, what is it ultimately made for? To drive us somewhere. Well, us as humans, we are designed, as different as we are, all to hear God's voice. We are all designed to feel His presence. We are all designed to have and get the Spirit and feel the Spirit. We're all designed with the Spirit that He's given us. We all have a spirit. The Bible says that we are spirit, but we just have this covering as a body. So even though we're all different, we are all made to do certain things, to hear certain things, to hear God's voice, to hear His presence. That's how He created us and why He created us, to be a part of Him. Now, when we get saved, something else happens. Now we have Jesus inside of us. Now we have the potential to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which is the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's our heavenly language. Now we have gifts, other gifts that we can have and manifest in our lives. The Holy Spirit now can help us, guide us. We have power. We have authority. So we go from the X1 to the X8. Hallelujah. When we give our lives to Jesus, in a sense. This is why we are spiritual people. That's why when you go out there, there's people trying to find all kinds of stuff. That's why the tarot cards are out there. That's why the Ouija boards are out there. Because we are spirit and we're trying to find something just to connect with. When God created us to connect with Him. As we praise and pray and fast, we are able to unlock other dimensions of God and have a greater result in our walk with Him. It is really endless what we can do. And when we get to heaven, the Bible says that we will forever be learning. Forever we will be learning. And you can find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. So when we pray, it shouldn't just to appease our conscience or to just checklist off that we prayed today. Oh, it's done. That's done. Now I can clean the carpet. We shouldn't do that. When we pray, it makes a difference. Prayer makes a difference. It's making a difference in your life, and it is making a difference in somebody else's life. Guaranteed, it is. Whether we feel it or not, whether we know it or not, it is happening. And this reminds me of a story in Acts chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also." Go to verse 5. "Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church." Who is the church?
We are.
Who?
We are.
We are the church. You are the church. In verse 7, it says, "Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly,' and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, 'Gird yourself and tie on your sandals.' So he did. And he said to him, 'Put on your garment and follow me.' So he went out and followed him, and did not know what was done by the angel that was real, but thought it was a vision that he was seeing." And then Acts 12, verse 11 says, "So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together doing what? Eating. What were they doing? They were praying." So my question is this: if the church had not been praying for Peter, do you think that he would have been saved? Or do you think that he would have been another martyr? It's quiet in here. In the Ivory Coast, there were a group of 50 or more intercessors behind the stage, prayer warriors, praying continually while the crusade was going on. And I noticed them the second night, I think I noticed them. I'm like, who are those people over there all by themselves? Well, there are intercessor prayer warriors. Really? Yeah, they pray during the entire meeting. And before the meetings were there, they were praying. And they never stop. I'm like, no way. And I went over there. And it was like nobody ever went over and said anything to those people, ever. They were shocked that I went over and said hello. And they were so happy and pleased. And I'm like, I'm giving honor to whom honor is due. Because without them, would everything that had happened in the Ivory Coast had happened? Would the devil have succeeded? I don't know. We'll never know because they were there. And miracles, signs, and wonders happened. And the devil's mouth was closed and shut up because those intercessors were there. Thank God. Prayer works. Amen? Absolutely. Hallelujah. They were praying as we preached the word and demonstrated Jesus' power. They never stopped. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. So was it prayer that made the difference? I believe so. Prior to the upper room experience, the Bible says in Acts 1:14, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." So if they had not continued to pray 10 days prior to the Holy Spirit showing up, would he have still shown up? Would he have filled them with the Holy Spirit? And would thousands of people have been added to the church when Peter got up on that rock or wherever and started preaching? I don't know. Maybe not. But because they stayed for 10 days and prayed continually, God showed up and he showed off. Now, 10 days, that's a long time of continual prayer, not knowing what's happening. Maybe not feeling anything, but it worked. Amen. Because prayer works. Amen. Hallelujah. Those people invaded heaven with prayer before heaven invaded those people in the upper room. We had to do something first, and then God showed up. Hallelujah. The number 6 is the number of man. We do what we can do. We do what God tells us to do. We read the Bible. We do what it says. We pray. But of course, the number seven, as Eric said, is the number of completion. Hallelujah. Then God gets to do what he does for us. And he completes the work in us and answers those prayers that we've been praying about over and over, maybe sometimes for years. But prayer works. We don't stop praying. If Daniel had have stopped praying on day 20, the angel would have never met him on day 21. And his prayer would have never gotten answered. We need to engage with God to make a difference, not to check prayer off our list. Amen? There are people alive today only because their grandmother was a praying grandmother. I've heard more testimonies than that from than any other testimony. If it wasn't for grandma, I wouldn't be here today because, man, she kept praying for me. There are people here today healed, set free, and delivered only because of the prayer of faith has set them free. That's it. Thank God for praying people. Amen? Our little granddaughter, who's now 4 weeks old, I think about 4 weeks old, I missed 10 days of her in Philippines. My son came to me and said, Dad, she hasn't pooped for 2 days. And I said, okay, that's not good, all right? And I said, okay, well, what did the doctor say? Well, if she doesn't go within 7 days, come and see me. Ooh, 7 days. So I immediately prayed. And Nicole prayed. And Quentin, he went and he laid hands on her. All of a sudden, I'm in the office. This is the next morning, okay? The next morning, she hadn't went for 2 days. I'm in the office and I'm studying, and Quentin said, Dad, come here quick. I said, okay. I got up. What? I went, oh, man, the bomb exploded. She had went, and I mean, she went over the sheets. It was all up her body, everywhere. I said, yes, and I gave Jill a high five. I hope it was with her clean hand. And I ran out to the garage. Nicole's cleaning out her car. I said, Nicole, come here quick. You got to see this. She said, what? She goes in there and wow, yes, wow. We're praising God. We're shouting. We had never been so excited to see so much poop all over the place in our life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But we were excited because prayer worked. Hallelujah. It worked. I can't imagine 7 days not going to the bathroom. But buddy, I'll tell you what, we were laughing and she was the only one crying. It was beautiful. Hallelujah. Never been so excited over poop in our whole life. If blind Bartimaeus would have not stopped shouting for Jesus when they told him to shut up, would he be healed? No. But when they told him to shut up, what did the Bible say? That he continued to shout, Son of David, have mercy on me, even louder. And the Bible says that Jesus did what? He stopped. And he said, bring him to me. Listen, when we pray, Jesus hears our prayers. He stops and he's listening to us. PDM would never be here today. Brother Eric wouldn't even be with us today. I wouldn't be where I'm at today if Pastor hadn't of taken 18 months, and he didn't know it was going to be 18 months, when he started praying and fasting and saying, there's got to be more than this to ministry. There's got to be more. And for 18 months, prayed, fasted, and watched healing tapes. Pray, fast, for 6 a.m. to noon, every day for 18 months. Then Jesus came into through that wall, put that ring on his finger and that robe and said, you're going to the nations. PDM would never be here today if he had not prayed and fasted and not given up. Hallelujah. I can't imagine 18 months. On day 10, I'd have been tired. Why ain't I hearing anything? 5 months, 8 months, 9 months, I'm done. I'm going back to the factory. That's what he said he was going to do. If I don't hear from God, I'm going back to the factory. Thank God he didn't give up and he was persistent. And because of that, hallelujah, I now get to sit on an airplane for 14 hours in a little seat with turbulence, praying and thanking God his plane's not going down because I'm in it. Hallelujah. Preaching the gospel and eating food that's running through gravy that I cannot see. Hallelujah. Sitting in economy. I'm believing God for a donor for business class. If you're out there and you feel that tug, you come and see me. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. And if extra, give one for Andrew too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Eric is always, he's already on Emirates. He's already got it made. He's got plenty of points. Hallelujah. Just us, man. Feel for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I believe also that our daughter Alexis would have had extreme physical problems when she was born if we hadn't have taken what that doctor said, not ignored it, not ignored it. We saw all the proof and the evidence that she was abnormal. We saw it. We listened to them, but I did not agree with the report of man. I said, well, this is what God says about my baby, not what man says. And thank God I took the scriptures and read those scriptures and prayed those scriptures and prayed and prayed and prayed, even when those ultrasounds still came back the same. I said, Nicole, you're done. We're not going back. I can see your faith is wavering. We're not going back. We're going to stay the course. Thank God we did, and she came out perfectly whole. Hallelujah. Because of the prayer of faith and not moving. Prayer works. It works. Hallelujah. In Luke 22, 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Thank God Jesus prayed for Peter. Thank God for that. Did you know that the Holy Spirit also prays for you and I? It says it right here in Romans 8, 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Think about that word, weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Look what it says right there. What is a weakness that we have that the Holy Spirit helps us with? The fact that we don't know what we should be praying for. The Holy Spirit calls that a weakness. And instead of getting honest about it, well, you weak, stinking Christians. No, the Holy Spirit is so gracious. God is so merciful and so loving to us that he says, fine, they don't know what they should be praying for. They should. That's what it says. We should know what we're praying for. But since they don't, I am going to intercede for them because they don't know what they should be praying for. That's the God that we serve. That's the love that he has for you and I. That he will take our weaknesses, step in front of us, and intercede on our behalf. Woo! That's powerful. That's absolutely powerful. Intercessions, it says, for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now jump down to Romans 8:34, because it just gets even better. Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died? And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes what? Intercession for us. So you might be sitting out there today thinking that nobody ever prays for me. Nobody cares about me. But the Bible just said that could be no further from the truth. The Holy Spirit and Jesus are doing more than praying. They are interceding for us. Do you know what that word interceding actually means? It means that they are putting their shoes in our shoes and bearing whatever we're bearing. They are taking our place and praying for us. Wow, our situations. The Holy Spirit and Jesus combined. Praise God, we are getting prayed for. Hallelujah, that should bring faith to you right there. That the Holy Spirit is interceding, Jesus is interceding. Hallelujah, they care for us. And they're working on our behalf. They're acting like it's their problem. That's beautiful. That's the God that we serve this morning. Prayer changes things. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, say that. Prayer changes things. It absolutely does. Prayer changes prayer requests up here to praise reports. in Jesus' name. And that's what I thank God for. Every time I see those praise reports, God, I thank you that those praise reports are going to be more than the prayer requests in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I'm just trying to build your faith here this morning, real quick. Okay, now, let's see here. Let's talk about how we are praying for a few minutes, because if we're praying the right way, our prayers will have a greater impact in our lives, of course. Remember, we just read that the Holy Spirit says that we should know what to pray for. I saw this sign when I was doing some study. It's hard to hear God's voice when you've already decided what you want Him to say. Okay? So basically, a lot of times, all we pray is what we want from God. Sometimes we pray our needs, okay? He says, I already know what you need of anyway. But this is one of the reasons why we don't get answered prayer as well. Because we tell Him what we want. Well, what does that make us? Does that make us God? And Him a slave? Yeah. And He's subject to us? I don't think so. I think He's God. We're subject to Him. Right? Yeah. We're the kids. He's God. Hallelujah. Yeah, we should be praying God's will for us. God's will for us, not our own will, but God's will for us. If we are praying our own will, God, give me this or give me that, again, then we're the boss and He's not. And we know that He's the boss and we're not. It's God's will. It's His plan, His purpose, and His desires, not ours. Not ours. I know it's hard to think about that way, but it's true. We want a little bit of God's will, but when it costs us something, then we tend to say, well, your will, oh God, prayers go out the window. Praying God's will is like tithing. We all want to give God a little bit. I'll give Him 20 bucks today. Here you go, God. Like He needs it, like we're doing Him a favor. But when it comes to giving Him the tenth, the tithe, and we know how much we make, I got to give Him 50 bucks out of that 500? Woo! I can't afford to do that now. No. You want me to pray God's will and not my own will? Man, that's a little hard to deal with. No, if only we would pray God's will, we would get our prayers answered. If we would just tithe, all of our needs and the windows of heaven would just be opened up. Use your faith. Take that step of faith and see what God will do for you. Hallelujah. All right. Show me in Scripture where Jesus had any unanswered prayer. I'll wait 2 seconds. There is none. You find any, John? None. No, Jesus got His prayers answered the whole time. What did He pray? He prayed God's will, didn't He? He says He don't even say anything or do anything that He hadn't seen His Father say or His Father do. He prayed God's will. Jesus said, Lord, this is what I want, in the Garden of Gethsemane, if you remember that. This is what I want. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. 1 John 5:14-15, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to whose will? His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked for. Some examples might be, you know, I feel alone today. I feel empty and by myself. So, God, please come near me. Your word says in James 4:8 that as I draw near to you, you will draw near to me. Bam, He will answer that prayer. That is His will. Because He sticks closer than a brother to us. God, I need your wisdom on how to deal with my teenager today. They're giving me problems, Father. And you said in James 1:5 that if I lack wisdom, that you will give it to me liberally. Hallelujah. That's His will. And we are praying His will for our lives, and He will answer that prayer. It's a guarantee. You will get wisdom on how to deal with that kid. Praise the Lord. God, I thank you for the victory over this temptation in Jesus' name, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 5 and 7. You quote that scripture, and he will help you, and he will answer that prayer. John 15, 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. What was the condition? Unfortunately, there are conditions. We have to abide in me, and my word abide in you. When we pray our will, well, guess what? We have to do it by our power. And we ain't got much of it. When we pray according to our desires, it has to be done by our own ability. But when we pray according to God's desires, we are coming into agreement, and there is now power in our prayer, and it will be done. When we pray God's will, nothing can stop that prayer. Amen? Nothing can stop. Who's going to stop God? Please. John 15, 7 says, Jesus said that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. The condition is abiding in him. And then you go down to 1 John 3, 24. So how do I abide in him? What does abiding in him really mean? It tells us in 1 John 3, 24. Now he who keeps what? His commandments abides in him and he in him. So keeping God's commandments is abiding in God, doing what is right. Hallelujah. And then in Psalms 37, 4, it even says it a little differently. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. The condition is what? Delight. Delight means to take great pleasure in, to please someone greatly. Okay, so you're going to give me the desires of my heart. But God, when I read other scriptures about the heart, like Jeremiah 17, 9, says that the heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. So if I delight in you, I'm going to get the desire of my heart, but yet my heart is wicked. So how does that even make sense? That doesn't make sense to me. Oh, it will, though, when you pray God's will. Here's the deal. If I want to please God, then I don't want to sin. Okay? I want to continue to change, and I want to do good and take pleasure in pleasing God. So then, if I do that, then my heart will change. Right? I won't have that wicked heart any longer because I'm changing, because I'm abiding in him, because I'm pleasing him. And my prayers will be answered. The fruit of the Spirit will be more prevalent every day. And God says that he searches the heart. And when the conditions are met, God will give me my desires. Do you see the pattern that's going on here? There's a pattern in it. Answered prayer will happen when we pray God's will, when we abide in Jesus and his word abides in us. That's keeping his commandments, obeying, continuing in his word, delighting ourselves in the Lord, which means to please him. These actions will guarantee answered prayer in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he needed people to pray with him. Guys, I need your prayers. But they couldn't do it. Jesus needed help. He needed some people to pray with him. But they couldn't do it. All they could do was sleep because of that turkey that they ate. So here in closing, everybody stand with me. I'm going to skip over this. I just wanted to give you some quick nuggets to stay strong in your prayer. Don't give up. Don't get all queasy. He's listening and he is hearing and he will answer our prayers. Jesus did the unthinkable for you and me. And Nicole brought it up a little bit in our dream team meeting at 9:15. A death so bad that he was unrecognizable. When we think about those things, how bad do you have to be unrecognizable? He put all the sins of the world upon himself. Every sin, every possible sin that had ever been committed, he put upon himself. And I was sitting in the office and I was thinking about that yesterday. I want you to think of the worst possible sin that could ever be committed to another person. He bore that sin. That was on his shoulders. He saw that. He felt that. That dark sin. And think of the combination of the world's sins on his shoulders, on that cross, and God turning his head from him, being completely innocent, doing nothing wrong, but helping people while he was on this earth. And yet he bore that as well. He did all that for us, and yet somehow we don't believe that he cares about our prayers. He cares about our prayers, and he cares about you, and he cares about me. When we pray God's will, pray his promises. You have aligned yourself up with the word of God, and you have the power of God backing you up. Wow. And we have guaranteed answered prayer. Hallelujah. Romans 10:17 said, faith comes by hearing the word. When someone hears the gospel message, the Holy Spirit gives them the faith to receive that message. And then they respond by confessing Jesus and believing in their heart that God raised him from the dead, and instantly they are saved. Instantly that horrific sin that they might have committed is washed away. Instantly they are a child of God. Instantly you have a seed of faith. Instantly now, hallelujah, you're more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He's there with you. You have power, you have authority. Hallelujah. And you have guaranteed answered prayer. I feel sorry for people who don't know Jesus because God says he doesn't listen to the sinner's prayer. I see all these Muslims praying three times a day, and I just look and I'm like, God's not listening to that. In our hotel room, they have signs pointing to the west or east or something, because the Muslims have to pray three times a day in a certain direction. So there's a sign on our ceiling in our room for these Muslims. And they got little places in the airports over there for Muslims and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, useless. Because he doesn't hear their prayer. But if you believe and you confess, he will listen to your prayer. So you may be here today. You say, you know, Pastor Randy, I'm not saved. Yeah, all you have to do is just answer a simple prayer. Just repeat a simple prayer. That's all he asked for. He could ask for so much more because of what he did for you and me. But all he said is just believe and just confess, and I'm yours and you're mine. So if you're here today, I always give this opportunity. Every pastor will, every week. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, just simply raise your hand so I can see it. And I'm going to pray a prayer with you. Anybody in here today at all? Anybody at all? Say, you know what? I need him. I want him. I need him. I'm looking. No hands, no hands, no hands. We got one? Hey, okay. All right. You see that hand? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody? I'm looking. All right. Let's all pray this together. And I need you to pray this. And it's simple. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you this morning as a sinner on my way to hell. But Lord, I thank you right now for forgiving me for my sins. Wash them away, Lord, and never remember them again. Now, Father, I thank you that I am now saved. I'm a Christian. I am born again. Now, Lord, help me live this life for you, to be pleasing to you. Bring people by my path that will help me. Now, lead me and guide me, because I'm going to live for you. because you died for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. The Bible says that when just one person gives their life to Christ, there's a party in heaven. Angels are celebrating and partying. I wonder what kind of cake they have. It's going to be awesome. A cheesecake. Love it. Hallelujah. Oreo cheesecake. Praise the Lord. Chocolate chip cheesecake. I'm hungry. Okay. Listen, if you need prayer for anything this morning, our prayer team's coming down front right now. And when I close out in prayer, we want you to come down. The Bible says, lay hands on them if you're sick, and they shall recover. Did you hear that word? They what? Shall recover. Hallelujah. That's a guaranteed promise from God. That when we lay hands on you, you shall be healed. And if you didn't come down and you want to confess, pray, they're here for you to do that. Amen? All right. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that happened today. We thank you that we are alive and we get to commune with you and have communion with you today. We thank you, Father, for another wonderful staff member, God, bringing him on, God, to help our children in this church, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you're going to do, the vision that you have for us in the children's church in the future. Thank you so much for that, Lord God. God, we ask that you bless every home, every person here today, their homes, their families' lives. God, hallelujah. Father, we rebuke divorce in the name of Jesus, Father, in this house today. God, I thank you for families close together, knitted together, Lord God, in this house, Father. God, I thank you that as they leave today, every place they put their foot, they are blessed. God, I thank you for the promotions. I thank you for the jobs they've asked for, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the guaranteed answered prayer, Lord God, for the saints in this house today. Give us a great week, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just thank you that, you know, we are King's kids and we tithe. So Lord God, we just rebuke any frozen pipes this week. We know the temperatures are going to be cold. Protect us, Father. Give us wisdom, Lord. If we need to do something for our homes, for our pipes, whatever, God, give us that wisdom today. Bring it to our remembrance. Do this, and do this to protect our homes because we are tithers, Father. We thank you for that as well. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, God bless you guys. We love you all. See you tomorrow night at 6 for prayer. And if not, we'll see you Wednesday night.